more time, but it's over at Da Nang and it's down. So they got our choppers doing it. And, oh, you asked about that, I got a little cold, cruise book, or whatever they call it over here, they make it, yeah, they make that gnocchi. Take it over there and make it up. And, that's where that's made up. I'll get one probably here before I leave, or they'll sell me all it to us. And I guess something here is usually set up. I don't know what that was about. I wrote that yesterday. And he's talking about promotions now. There won't be any promotions on this side of the ocean. Still got some peanut butter left. Yeah, he's asking if you sent some last time. You couldn't remember. Yeah, you did. Yeah, I still got some of that left. And I got some crackers left. And, well, he's talking about the motorcycle. And, yeah, the guy that I bought it from got me a carrier the other day, so I got a carrier on it now. He promised me, you know, it'd come with it, but he didn't have it at the time, and he brought it over. And see, you're not supposed to have these bikes to start with over here. And the factory reps and that for the different squadrons and our factory reps, they all got them, so they can't very well kick them off base. So they just kind of ignore them, like they're not there. Or like, we're not, they're riding them around, see. And if you go in town, you're off base with them, you got to have insurance. You got to have Vietnamese driver's license and Vietnamese insurance and all that, so they won't let them out the gate at all, that's for sure. And but just to run around on the base here, they let you have them. So that's how come I got one. And, oh, it's too bad about those fish. All snuffing like that. But it's funny, when something gets in the tank, they all just start going and you can't stop them. And I don't know what to tell you. It must be something that's really clean. Next time you change them, you know, or that, there must be something you can put in there really, you know, start all over from scratch. Because when we first got them, you took and just checked the alkaline and measured everything before we put them in. We didn't have any trouble when we first got them, you know, by checking the water bill. And then after a while, we just started changing water and changing, without checking all this stuff, and that's when they started dying. And, well, I can hear JB barking when he's begging. He's a bad guy, biting all that mail. You gotta wait for the mailman on Saturday, and then when he goes to bite the mail, spank him. Tell him his dad said to knock it off. or even have Stewie go out or somebody come up the door with some mail or something like that, old mail or something, and just slide it in the slot at night or something when he goes after the bite it, and then he can miss banking. I don't know who he learned that from, anyhow. I think it's where he really got it, is when the mailman would stuff it in a ways, and then he'd pull it out a little bit, try to stuff it in, work it in better, and like he wanted to play tug of war or something. I think that's where he got it from to start with. And or maybe he got over there when he was trying to stuff it in, and then it came through and hit him in the head a few times or something. He got mad at him, I don't know. You ought to break him by that, because he's liable to chew up something that's important someday. And you said the guy from the house, you didn't get a chance to talk to him. And I didn't understand that. I thought you had all the deal all cut and dried. I mean, when you're going to do this, or what? Is that what you want to talk to him about? I'm going down to the kitchen and get a beer. I'll be back in a little bit. I went out and got a cold one. And I checked the top of the fridge. There's some beer in there. It's been in there all day, so it's frozen. So I put that down below. And yeah, they were talking about beer today. They said that this one guy got the word from the guy here in the PX that all these different PXs, marine PXs around the area, when the first divvy that leaves, they're getting ready to pull out now. They're on stand out of it. And well, like I told you before, helicopters will be the last ones out here, which we will be. And yeah, they said after all these PX snack holes, we're going to have a hard time getting beer any place. Let me see them by, I think there's 80 cases to a pallet. And going with the officers, getting a couple pallets and stash them someplace, so when it comes May, June, and it's real hot, that's the beer drinking weather over here, you know, and we'll have some beer. And imagine that refrigerator of ours will really get a workout, that big one. And I'll probably have this one packed up and shipped by then. It's right near the end, you know, everything. Everything will be packed out here. I'm just wondering where my orders will read. I know I'll be calling home. I'll be going someplace. So. And, let's see. Where was I? When I told you about to tell JB to be a good guy and quit chewing up the mail, tell him it's a government offense. I'm a government man. And he's a government dog, so I can't do that. And he was talking about, on the news about the helicopters, the Cobras over there, you know. Yeah, we got some new Cobras, twin engine jobbers, brand new ones, and squadron next to us, and they're experimenting with it over here. And, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, our choppers, as far as I go, you know, they could bring bomb loads on them and use them as bombers if they wanted to, the ones we got, the big ones. And I don't know if they ever thought of it, end of their mind, you know, you get pretty low and pretty well pinpoint bombing, you know. They want to because they've used them for napalm, you know, pick up big barrels, you know, of 55-gallon drums of napalm. And they rig it so they open one end of a net and it just rolls on out, you know. I guess it works pretty good. And I don't get much on here, so spank, you know, my notes here spank JB for being a bad guy. But you gotta catch him being a bad guy. And yeah, when I was talking about those payments, yeah, I knew that it was just paid up to, I was pretty sure it was July. And I was trying to figure out when I had to send them, if I should send you 6 or 7 payments next time, you know, because I don't know if I'd be home in January or December or what, you know. So, anyhow, for July, I'll send you the rest of the payments, you know, for the land and that. And I don't know, I'm going to draw $185 to this payday. And let's see, I don't know what I'm going to buy. I'll probably buy something with it though. And I'm sending $100 to the hunt and taking $100 in the check and $185 cash. And send $100 to that credit union. And like I say, well, you want to sell the car for $3 or $3.25, whatever you get. Don't go under $3. And then I'll have to think about buying a car when I get home again. Well, I was going to anyhow, I guess. But like me, a car ain't that big a thing, just something that's good transportation, you know. And I realize that, you know, even though it's in good shape, it, you know, they aren't, you just can't get out of them, you know, what you think they're worth. It's funny how some of these car lots can go and try and sell, put their price tag on some of these wrecks and some of these old beat up cars that they're trying to sell. And put the price tags on them. I was just looking at the tape here and trying to see how much he's got left. My flashlight here and take a little better inspection. Let's see here. Oh, I probably got about 10 minutes, I guess. Yeah, I was reading in the Stars and Stripes here. It was yesterday's Stars and Stripes I found down at work. And he was talking about North Vietnam putting in artillery and rockets, big rocket sites up there in DMZ. And that they've known about it for quite a while. They've been keeping an eye on it. And that it was before this stuff started in layoffs that they knew that they were putting them in there, you know. And I think that's the most stupidest statement. And let me find that Stars and Stripes here somewhere along. Oops, just a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is. And it's got NVA, it's North Vietnamese Army, installing big guns in DNZ, Pentagon. And it goes on to say that Pentagon said Thursday, North Vietnam has moved big guns and rockets inside the so-called militarized zone between North and South Vietnam. Jerry W. Friedem, a Defense Department spokesman, said, "We are watching it closely. We haven't made any final conclusion about what the enemy intentions are. Maybe. Now, isn't that the stupidest thing? There's nobody supposed to be in that DMZ to start with, you know. It's supposed to be neutral, and that's part of the deal. If they quit bombing up north, they'd keep out of the DMZ, and they said they're installing stuff in there, and they know it. And then the rockets are all pointed right down here, and they says, we haven't made any final conclusion about the enemy's intentions or what they may be." Boy, of all the stupidest things. It goes on here to tell that they knew they were in there before Laos. They've been working on them for about a month and a half now. And they just... they were underway before South Vietnamese drive into Laos February 8th. Normally, this is North Vietnam. Artillery normally include guns and artillery rockets. And that this was true in respect of DMZ buildup. His first time in the next administration in the next administration, that activity of such a magnitude has been observed in the DMZ. So they just observe them, sit back and watch them do it. This is what they're doing. Yeah. It's crazy. Well, I really can't think of too much to talk about. We worked on that embarkation again today, mostly. And, I got about of tools and equipment and special tools and parts and that. I got 89 boxes of big boxes of gear to get ready. And so I've got just, I got everything remarked, all the boxes and this and that. And I've got nine big boxes, great big ones all packed, and I got them all banded and ready to go. I got them out and we've got them stored out there now. So I should pretty well finish up tomorrow as far as I can go until we get ready to leave. So I have all everything ready just to throw in the boxes and what I've got left around there. And all the nuts, bolts, washers, and they're all little boxes, inside boxes where you can work out of, you know. So all you gotta do on them is just put the lids on them and nail them shut and band them up. And so that's all about all I gotta do with everything now. Tomorrow I should be in pretty good shape after tomorrow. And things should get back to normal. But boy, that was a mess for a long time here. I'm trying to operate, you know. People coming in and wanting stuff all the time and still trying to get all this other crap done. Real madhouse. So, let's see how that old tape's doing. It's getting down there. Well, I guess I got one side knocked out tonight. And I'll throw it in the mailer in the morning and mail it to you. We didn't have any, well, they had a mail call this morning. I guess they just got some newspapers and one package for a guy, no letters at all. I guess third class mail or something. I don't know what came in. But I guess Sunday they don't work too hard or something. Just the operating squadrons work like hams. And that's headquarters maintenance squadron. They're supposed to be supporting all the squadrons. Well, every Saturday and Sunday, they only work a half a day. And the squadrons, yeah, we have to keep working all the time. And that's like the old folks home hams. Guys, they go from one hams outfit to another. Every time they get in a mag, they find out they've been in hams before. So they put them in hams again, you know, and they just transfer from one place to another, and just, there's not much work for them to do, you know, and they just kind of bide their time, you know. They get a lot of time off in the States, even. They never got nothing to do in the States. And when you send something for them to work for them to do it, you gotta make out them team copies, and it takes, gotta get transportation to take it to them, and it's such a mess that guys, they usually just do their work, hams work right in the squadron, instead of taking a chance on losing a part or losing all the man hours and paperwork just to have them do it. Just do it yourself, you know, get the parts and fix it yourself. And well, it's getting down there near the end. No, I still got a couple of minutes, I guess. And I'm not the type of guy who lets them run out and gets mad at it and then starts the other side. When it runs out, I'm happy, because I hate to, can't think after I sell a few words or a few sentences or a few things, that's about all I get to say. And the gooks are off. Day before yesterday, and yesterday they worked here and did some laundry, and I had clean sheets last night. That's another good thing. I slept like a log. She did my sheets yesterday, and
And they're off again today.
And today is this big rumor that tonight's the night we're supposed to get hit, so I hope they don't mess around because I want to get a good night's sleep tonight. They usually, they have to blow a siren, everybody's get out of the rack and go take cover, you know. I hate to mess with that crap. And, you know, if it ain't coming in real close, well, with the world. So, I remember when I was over here before one time, I was sleeping and I was drunk, I guess, and I was sleeping real sound. Everybody, well, just about everybody, three or four of us were really wiped out. And we stayed in our tents. We was in tents then, you know. And there was holes in the tent the next morning. We just slept on through it. We didn't even know that they had a firefight outside of us a little ways. And they had like shit or grenade fragments come through the tent. Didn't hit nobody or nothing. Just cut some holes and didn't know a thing about it. Well, this time the tape is getting down where I can just barely see it through that little window. So, as far as what's going up north, that's about over, and wondering if they're going to come up through Quezon again. I guess I took some pictures up there yesterday. Quezon, there's nothing there. It's just a big high piece of ground, more or less, and it's close to their close to Laos there, where, you know, where the infiltration routes are for their supplies is about all. And otherwise, it's not really a strategic deal as far as I'm concerned. They got fuel pistols. See, we took the bulldozers in up there, and the Army took and scraped off places and where the Marines were before there on the old airstrip. They fixed it up and covered up all the bunkers and leveled it. We've been working their Hueys out of up there, and so now they're pulling them out of there too, because they've been getting hit pretty hard up there with rockets and artillery. And sometimes when we get out about ready to go in up there, when it starts raining, you know, mortars, and so we can't get in, we turn back and go back playing tree or someplace. We wait until it lets up. Sometimes when they're in there and start taking in cover, so then they just fly out real quick and get away from the area. But they're just about there. I pulled the Army out and put Vietnamese troops in there. And they don't know if North Vietnam's going to try and take it or not, come on through there and move with it or not. They couldn't get it from the Marines, but they might get it from the South Vietnamese. And, you know, you don't know. So, well, the tape's just about run out, hon, so I'm going to sign off, and so good night, and yeah, I love you, and tell Stewie, Monkey, and everybody hi, and tell Monkey to study hard, and Stewie to study hard. Hi, hon. Let's see, today's the 30th, and it's, let me see the calendar here, I think it's Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday, and, let's see, it's in the afternoon, and, I had a duty last night, and, so, I got, took the day off. I was beat, and I had to stay up all night, and, let's see, oh, I get your, let's see, I got you a tape off the 28th, and I mailed it yesterday. Anyhow, after I taped you, that night we got hit by rocks. Yeah, it was about 3:15 in the morning, and I heard the first one coming in, and they're propelled, you know, and it sounded like a come right down through the
hooch here. Sounds like a locomotive or a choo-choo train, you know, like it goes over a trestle, how it sounds. And I heard that thing, and man, I flew out of, and it seems that, usually I sleep with the sheets or covers over me, you know, and I was real tired. And so I sprayed this place down real good for mosquitoes. And I laid down to go to sleep about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I guess. I just laid down on top of the covers because I was wondering about, worried about the mosquitoes, and I was going to take and pull the covers over me when it got cold. when I heard that noise, and boy, I just flew out of this bed. I did a handspring practically. And just as I was out of the rack, the first one hit. By the line down there, and it wasn't about two or three seconds later, I heard the second one, and it came over, and by then, I got up, and I was out the, my hooch door here, this little, I have some curtains here, it's outside the curtains in a little hallway, like, and I heard that one hit, and I saw it, and it was out the door, and it hit out the ocean there, right on the beach there in front of me. And that's about 100 yards in front of us out there. And that kicked stuff up all over. It was a shrapnel, this guy's hooching at across from us, in front of us there. And all of a sudden, a little bitch, you know, and we, the kooks just tore all of our bunkers out. We had a real nice bunker, and they passed the word. They were getting shabby looking around the area. They've been up for so long that they had to tear everybody's down. So they had these working parties, these women, these gooks in here tearing them all out systematically. So many a week, you know. And they tore ours out last week. And we had a real good one. And, those are some mortars. And, so there was no place to go, you know. I thought some of them basically got zeroed in with those in their window. 52 rockets, you know, B-52s. And big bastard. And so they, that was about the end of it. One more came in after that. And right around here, there's some went down on the line, out line area. And one went through one of our, there's some shrapnel down there, went through this one. Going down there where it's standard duty NCO at. And so I'll be some again if I didn't have the duty the next day, or which is yesterday. And they expect to get hit again last night, you know. I mean, they get hit all around the area in the Army and up and down Vietnam. It's all coordinated, you know. And talked about leaving here at noon. It's not any more under control than it was when I first got here. Not as good. So they expect to get hit again last night, and they hit Da Nang the night before, and they hit us. And they're all over the place, you know. But at least they're able to finally drive us out of here, you know. That's what the big propaganda will be up north, that they drove all the Marines out of Vietnam, so they won the war. And so last night they expected it again, so I didn't get much sleep, and we have to send a duty section down, you know, one quarter, 25% down, draw weapons. It's nothing, nobody can have weapons over here. The staff can't have anything else. Staff and officers, and they have to send 25% down the duty section to hangar and draw weapons. Stand by for a ground attack too, you know. I thought they might get one last night, and we didn't get anything at all last night. So, you know, we got planes that go out and they drop flares around the area all night. Two planes, they relieve each other, or sometimes they use four, two at a time, they have flying. They just keep the area lit up, illuminized all the time. And we had that go out and flying last night. And other than that, I didn't even come on the duty section. They didn't go to that. They have a command bunker that tells you what to do all the time, and they call you and tell you this. could tell you when to wash the flarebirds and all that, you know. So, imagine we'll get it again here tonight or right along, you know, all the time now before we leave. Keep getting those rockets in. And nothing we can do about it. Ain't no place to totally get out of the way from. Find a ditch or a hole.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid tearing all those bumpers up.
Yeah, I thought it was good time anyhow. Imagine if one of these hooches here takes a direct hit in front of them and splatters a few guys, and somebody's ass will be out in the wind for giving that order. Beautify the place and tear the bunkers down. Beautify the place for the army to take over. Well, what did I say? Let's see, I'm gonna blow my nose. I just came back from the shower. It's 3:15. And so I get to bed about 9. I was sleeping up here at San Luis this morning. I've been doing for a while. And the rockets went off the other morning. I got up at 3:15 after me. Everybody was out of the rack, and that was 3:20. It was all over, see. I stayed up, and then I had the duty the next day, and then I was up all night last night, so I got a long day. So I was really tired. I think the mail goes out by 4 or something like that. I'll try and get this. And I didn't get a chance to tape yesterday. I was busy with that duty and CO stuff. System duty, SD, all they call systems for the wheel. And, so, I'm trying to get this in the mail now. I would have taped last night. I think it would go out at the same time. I would have, you know, now if I would have taped last night. So, hey, I got your box yesterday. And, let me check and see if this thing's working. Yeah, it's working. Say I got your box yesterday, which would be the 29th, and it's in the afternoon, and in the morning I got a tape from you, and the tape said that you were going to mail the box the same time you mailed the tape. I got your mail that day, and you both got it the same day, so that's pretty fast. And the tape was marked 3:24, so you must have mailed it the 25th. I get it the 29th. Yeah. It should really be the 27th. It's like about 3 days, 3 or 4 days, I guess. If I get it on the 29th, that would be the 28th to you, I guess. And you must have mailed it on the 25th. So that's really moving along. Got here the same time the tape did. I'm sitting here in my white shorts, put them on after I took a shower. And I think maybe I go out later on after I put this down at the post office and get up in the mail. And wash my leg off, get a hold of someplace, and I'm trying to wash it off and then wax it. Like chrome and clean up on it. It's starting to rust on me. Well, I went down this morning at about 9:30, I guess. I was up to around 9:45. I wanted to get some shower shoes. I lost mine. And I stopped in that PX there. Boy, there's nothing in there. And I tried to get shower shoes. They didn't have any. And didn't have any flint. And didn't have any razor blades that were kind that fit my razor, so I bought one of those Schick injector razors, and you get a pack of blades with them, you know. So this PX is just about, you know, it's just getting rid of all their crap, I guess, and you're reordering too much. So, I don't know, I wish they'd, not put a case on there, isn't how up there again yet, you know, down in there. pull out, but I'll be kind of disappointed now if we don't after all that packaging and box and all that crap up. And I got an inspection coming up here, I think the 3rd on my embarkation. And then I got an A&M the 3rd of May. And I got pre-A&M inspection the 20th. I got a bunch of crap to do yet. Then I guess I'll be ready for him by then. And he was asking about if I knew where my gear was on Oki. And, no, I don't know where it is. I know where it was, where I left it. And I sent for it and it's never got down here yet. So, either it's there, or en route here someplace, or else it's in the States in Pendleton. I don't know where that is. So, I don't know. If I go back to Oki, I'll have to try and find it. And, otherwise, I'll have to probably send to the States for it. Because, you know, I'm supposed to have a halfway decent issue. When you get to Oki, I have an Oki with you. And, well, this E9 is, Master Gunny Sergeant asked me this morning what I wanted, if I had my choice or if I, what I wanted to do, you know. And I said, well, I just, you know, go to Oki to do what, you know, and I said, well, no way, I guess he's got a choice. And I told him, well, I just assume, you know, I'll go to Oki with the squadron, they're only going to take a few people. But they might take some key personnel, you know, through different shops and that. And I said, I just assume go with the squadron opener to Hawaii. I say Oki with 4 men Hawaii, and because I've never been stationed there before, and, so I don't know. I said, you know, just keep in mind if they do give you a choice to keep any, send any personnel if you want to, you know. He said they would, you know. So I don't know where I'll go. Which you knew that before, so.
Well, let's see.
I guess something down here about mailing that stuff. And he said, buying stuff, you know, he said he saw it in the States about the same price. I don't think it is cheaper over here. And there's different classes of different stuff, you know. And you know, it may look the same, but check down real close, you know, and it'll be different. You know, like TVs and radios and stuff like that. And he said you saw for about the same price. And he said, it's funny, I was hearing the news, you know, listening to the news. And the other day, like on the 25th, or the American Television down there, Southwest got hit so bad, and they wiped out about 27 of the guys, wounded 7. They wiped out 30-some, wounded 76, I guess. And we heard about that on the news, and then everything around here, about, you know, that night we got hit right Southwest, there's a little prison camp down there on the beach, and they try to hit that and get those guys out. And then there's a relocation camp where they move a bunch of gooks, you know, to live, have them move together and that. And that's down a little further. Well, they went in there and slaughtered those people, and they flew over there in the, you know, 5 in the morning, it was still getting light, and the guards and the gooks and everything were just laying all inside that compound, laying all over the place. VC went in and slaughtered them. That's about, 6 miles south of us, I guess, down the road a piece. And there's a lot of stuff that's happening around here you don't hear on the news, or you don't. And then there's stuff that around here that we don't either unless we just happen to know about. And it's kind of, you know, the news is kind of a goofy deal. You just hear from different guys that are out in different parts of the north, south, east, or west of here, you know, wherever they might be, and they can tell you what's happening. Trying to kind of piece it together with what the news said, trying to get a halfway picture of it, you know. And, how was that? JB was in that last tape quite a bit. And I was thinking, when he went out and cleaned up the yard and was pulling weeds and all that, did he ever go out and dig any holes in the yard afterwards? Seems like whenever we was working in the shrubs or anything like that, he saw us pulling weeds in there. It seemed about a day or so later, he'd be out pulling weeds or digging holes and stuff too, like he thought he was supposed to. Let me check this tape. I think it's about out. Yeah, it just about is. So anyhow, I was just wondering how he's been doing as far as digging holes go. Excuse me. I don't suppose you'll ever see that yearbook or that squadron book I sent home and that stuff, because I gave it to that clown that I got busted. It was beforehand. I mean, the guy that roamed up the monkey and all the dope and different things. So he never mailed it. He just took Canada someplace, I guess. I got relieved of duty this morning at 8. My back was getting kind of sore from being up for so long. I guess getting tired, I guess. I mean, it's okay now, you know, I guess. Just stretch out and lay down and rest it, you know. And it's okay. I just wondered if I got something up in my back of my neck or is a, you know, a vertebrae or something. Whenever I'm flying, it seems like I'm going to get a hard head on. And, seems like it kind of pinches my neck on one side and my shoulder muscle. Seems like there's something every time, the same spot, it seems like. And I just wondered if that weight or something pressing down on my neck, something up in there could be goofed up. It's okay now. I just rested good and went out, took a shower a little ago, and I feel pretty good. And I don't know what I'm going to fill this tape up with, but let's see. What else happened? Well, anyhow, so we expect to be getting hit here at night, off and on, you know. And till we leave. I was glad to hear that Stewie got his award and everything. At scouting, or at that, you know, at that meeting or whatever it was you had. And let's see, what else can I think of? I'm just sitting here and with the fan going, the fan on. Trying to think of something to say. I don't see how you can tape like you do. Is it, just knock them right out and get through one side, start it out on the other. I'm going to try tonight and work on that, my course. It's been about a week and a half, 2 weeks since I did anything with it, so I'm going to have to review that last lesson a little bit before I start into this one where I left off on the other one, you know. Maybe I can get, let's see, Thursday's payday, so I should try and get one or two lessons ready so I can get them in the mail when I get paid. And thanks a lot for all that stationery and stuff and that pencil with the two erasers. It's pretty clever. Well, let's see. Yeah, I can take and send those, put some stars and stripes or papers and things, whatever I want, those envelopes. That's just the right size. Mail them. And I'm just having some tomato juice and beer here. And I was having a beer when I went to sleep this morning. I just drank about half or so, not even that, I guess. Put in the refrigerator, it's kind of flat. And I'm drinking that with some tomato juice. Pretty good. It's cold. And, well, I get your magazines and everything out. And I haven't had a chance to read them yet. I looked through that one, Proper Mechanics. I didn't know you was taking that one. That's a good magazine. Yeah. So I haven't heard anything on that stamp deal. Maybe I'll write them again. Imagine if I'm looking at a magazine now, Popular Science or Proper Mechanics, so there ought to be a listing in there of them. And I can write down for information. And I got your five tapes. I'm using one of them now. Yeah, when that first one went off in Brass the other night, and I decided there was no place to go but under the rack, you know. And, I was thinking about turning on the mic here. It wasn't plugged in, but plugging it in, you know, and having a tape on. And you hear these things come in, and boy, they're really loud as they say, tell me they got a train or something, and boom. It's going to tape you some of the noise and talking, commotion in it, and everybody's yelling at everybody, you know. And, if everybody's okay and that, you know, goofing around. And, I haven't got a helmet or nothing yet. I never drew any wires. And, so I got one last night. This guy next to me, Woody's going home here pretty soon. I'll try and get his black vest and his helmet from him. I just brought this one down the helmet, down the hangar there last night. This friend of mine, old friend next door, Vic Heflin, he's working nights down there, and he works in a squadron next to us. And one of their birds got blasted up pretty good, and he was walking out to QA it, do some inspection on it. Just as that thing went off, he hit the deck, you know, and blew all the plexiglass and everything out. It was a Huey, and it shrapneled down one side of it. It goofed it up pretty good. It hit this revetment that it was in. And it's funny, they can get it way back and fire those rockets, and they can be that accurate. But, you know, they can't really pinpoint a target, but they can hit pretty close, probably within 50 yards of where they want it. And you can't see anything, it's just kind of guesswork. But they really, really do a job. And they got this one guy in maintenance where this one hit down by ground support there. They want to put that hole through the White House, they call it, where the offices and everything are there. And for the squadron. He's got a piece of it where the nose cone screws onto the motor part of it. And it's a round disc about probably 6 inches long, probably five, six inches in diameter. It's got numbers on them. He's looking at it. They had like 5-5 and 6-6 and 9-9. Different numbers like that. And then they had a stamp blue in it into the middle there. And it looked like one of those civilian defense little triangles that you got on your radio and was stamped in there. And it was Russian, I guess, made, you know. And then he had a piece of the fin off of the back that part of the steering mechanism. And they just set those things according to these little watchers up, and then they set it on a timer, and then they're away from the area when they go off, you know. So it's pretty good weapon. And I remember, it sure come a long ways, because I remember when they used to use bow and arrows and beehives. They go up to these outposts and swing beehives in there, you know, the troops and that, and stuff like that, you know. Sure, it's funny how they let this thing get out of hand when they could have just took right over at 60, been done. It would start at 62 in here, they'd come in, they could have been all over by 63 or 4, and then they let the Congress and that get in there, I guess, or something. Sure get out of hand. Oh, we just wasted all that time, men, and money for nothing. Leave here and let the VC come in here and take it. Because I know these sovereign troops, they ain't ready for us to pull out. They can't fight for themselves. A few good outfits, and then the rest are just a bunch of clowns. They act like little kids anyhow. So as soon as I get it done, I'll put it in the paper or put it in my mailer and get it down and throw it in that postal box. So it's 20 to 4, so I should get it down on my 4. I don't know if it's 3:30 or 4, it's the deadline on that, getting it in. Three thirty or maybe 4:30. I get this one off, it'll be just like I taped the tape last night. And see how many mailers I got.
One.
Two. Yeah, I got 5 mailers. And when I mail this one, I have 4 of them. So I don't know how many you bought to start with, but that's how many we got now. And I think I get a different meter here, one with your address on it. Else, they're still, oh, they cut off flying. They haven't been going up north so much. There's not too much doing up there. And so they, on these planes, they got blade folds, just to press different buttons, and then the tail folds by itself, and all the blades fold positioned by themselves. And they haven't been using them over here because it's kind of a delicate outfit, or, you know, system, and a lot can goof up on it. And so they just leave them spread and keep them flying. If them spread like that all the time, don't fool them. Well, now they're trying to work all the bugs out of all each aircraft, so when they leave here, when they go aboard ship, they get a fold them, you know. And they land on, when they land aboard ship, then they just push some buttons on that, and the tail folds, and the blades all fold, and it's all ready, all folded up in a matter of about 10 minutes. And it's just pushing buttons, you don't have to do anything physical. That's pretty good. Sikorsky's a pretty smart guy when it comes to building helicopters. So they're working on that now. So they'll fly, we'll be the last squadron flying right up to the 20, right up when we go aboard ship, because when these other squadrons quit flying, we'll have to probably help them haul some of their stuff aboard ship. We'll probably, you know, take an external stuff out to them and help them load up on ships. So it really doesn't give us when these other squadrons quit, you know, go on standby, which they're doing first part of May and missing that, they get a lot of extra time, you know, to work on their gear and their birds and stuff, but we won't get that. I guess that's just the way it goes. I'm getting this mirror all ready here, so when I get done here, I can just slap it in there and take it out. Just put the tape on it and be ready to go. Yeah, this must be one of JV built a hole in or something. That's a little hole in it. And there, it's all set for them. It's all set to put the tape in. Well, it says Suzanne's never looked at that catalog, so I'll just let it go like that. And, at least she got it. And, Dino and Stewie getting together, and Edna suggested they make a tape, and so I'll be looking forward to that. And I really can't think of too much else to say. Well, I love you, hon. Too hard around the house there. And probably pretty soon you'll be telling me, you never did say if you got a hold of that termite guy. He said he tried to call you or something, but he never did say if you got a hold of him or he got a hold of you. And,
so I'm probably hearing one of these tapes one of these days. And he said to be sure and tell you something I never told you that you've asked me. I can't think of what it was now. The tape's just about out. Well, I guess I'll just let it run out here because I get it in the envelope in the mailer and run down the post office. That's about 4 blocks from here. And I went and I mailed that one tape, and I ain't goofing around here. Yeah, I'm getting my locker, I'm cleaning up my locker, and I'll rearrange things again. And the guy said that came up some army outfit that's been under siege for 3 days, and they're just about out of ammo, so they want 3 of our birds out there to haul. Yeah, well, they get it all ready for me to go. Maybe move them and move into them. How they're going to come out of that. So, usually when they're under siege, it's hard to, you know, to get in without getting hit. You know, plane tickets and hits on the way in and out. And they're external, so they'll go in and just barely be there for a second and just touch them. Release the load and they'll be on the deck there. I get my lock here squared away a little bit. This one guy's going home. Maybe I'll, I'm taking a bunch of stuff out of it. I got boots and all kinds of stuff. And extra dungarees. I got that big tarp, a camouflage tarp would make a good tent and this and that. Maybe I'll just fill up this foot locker and have this guy ship it on his orders. And where he's shipping it is to another guy here in the hooch to his wife, and this guy here is, I think he's from Yuma, and he's in the midst of divorce or some stuff, so he's shipping it to someplace else in Santa Ana or Tustin around there, and maybe I'll fill up a footlocker and have him ship it to that address, and she can call you when it comes in, and then you can pick up the whole thing, you know, at once instead of sending different packages and that. I have to talk to him tonight about it. And well, it's 20 after 6 now, and the flick starts at 7, so I think I'll wander over and have a couple beers and try and get a decent seat. And if it's not any good, I'll be back and finish out this tape. And maybe, and they said it takes about 18 days is all, ship something there. So, and I got about 15 tapes of those hour tapes that you keep sending, and I'll send them back to you and you can retape them, you know, just tape over them again to send them instead of you keep buying more. And because I don't believe in saving these tapes, and you just use them as a letter, like, you know, just send them back and forth. Okay. So anyhow, I'm going to reflect now, and I'll talk to you later on.
Yeah, just getting ready to leave, and these two guys walked in, and with your other box, the one with the pillow, evidently, and plus a tape. And what's the tape? It's got a, let's see, no survival or attempt delivery. FSR. Oh, my box must be down here, too. Let me check this out. This is a piece of paper that's hooked to the tape here. Maybe that's my box of other clothing. Yeah. Anyhow, let me open this big pillow and I'll tell you how it looks. Yeah, and I got your pillow. And that's really nice. Boy, that's king size. That'll be some real good sleeping on that bear. It's in that plastic case. I wonder if I should leave it in there. And then just put a, try and get a pillowcase to fit it. Well, the pillowcases are quite that wide. Oh, maybe they are. Yeah, I'll give it a try. And it sure is colorful. It's, really brightens up the place. And I was just looking at it on this thing I got over my rack. It's all camouflage, green and dark, you know, and this is real bright. That's all right. You know, livens up the place quite a bit. So thanks a million. And I'll play your tape when I get back. And then I'll finish up this tape, and I'll have other things to talk about on this tape. So we'll talk to you later. Well, I'm back from that flick. It wasn't very good. And we had a guy that got hit out over at Liberty Bridge there tonight. He got hit in the leg, and they brought him in and got another gunner and went back out again. And 46 over there is over by their, they took a rocket, I guess, or something. And this is late this afternoon. And one got killed, and the other three are goofed up pretty good. They got the bird back on the deck. And, they're raising hell these goose around here. Ganwala over here where they was at, they had 100. They had moving last night, groups they saw in the open, you know. And now there's 250, they figure, in there. And well, that's 15 miles from here. And that's what they killed 76 Marines over there. And these are the guys that are supposed to be leaving. And so they're raising hell around here. And so they figure rockets again tonight are, you know, high probability for next 4 nights now. So, I'm going to listen to your tape and unplug now. And this movie I went to was Hell's Angel 69. It was a number 10 rated movie, I guess. You know, that's about the clip we get over here. Never get anything really decent or good. Always foreign or... real, can't figure out where I never, saw any of these movie stars, never heard of them or anything, something else. This guy, they said he's just got a flesh wound, so he's going to be all right. And in our outfit, I got my little nester all goofed up. I got stuff that you sent, and I got boots and stuff that I'm going to put in a Foot Locker and send a Foot Locker back here. And I give you the address, and then you can, when you get there, she'll call you and tell you that it's there. And I'll help fill up a whole Foot Locker full of stuff. And my stuff from Oki I was talking about, or you was asking about in the last tape, it's down here now over in the post office. And the guy brought me the slip up tonight, to go pick it up, so it's over there. So I'll probably put some of that in this Foot Locker too and send that back. And so anyhow, I might as well send the Foot Locker back if I'm going to, instead of sending two or three packages at a time and this and that. And I don't get much else to say. And if they keep messing around, we might be pulling out of here after all. Seems like when you get down to just a small force, well, then they'll come in and raise hell with you. And that's trying to do. So, yeah, I'll talk to you later, and I'll listen to your tape now. Maybe I'll finish this tomorrow. So, good night for now. Yeah, I'm trying to, I played this before, and this is, 31st now, and, I'm getting kind of disgusted here. I played this tape, and I made it printer all the way to the end, and, nothing happened. I had played it back to see what I was, I forgot to say something, or forgot what I was saying. And the thing wasn't taping, so I got to take and I'm going to check it again now because I went all the way through this bear and nothing happened. So just a minute. Yeah, okay, I figured it out. I didn't have the red thing. Red button down. I just had the play button down. I was watching the tape go around as I talked, and yeah. So anyhow, I listened to your tape last night, and then I went to sleep, fell off to sleep, and I didn't get a chance to finish this one. And I got a call and woke up early in the morning. I had to fly this morning, and well, last night I told you the bull rider got hit, and yeah, he got hit in a leg, and then busted his leg and chipped a bone, and they got him in a cast over at First Marines over there, and he'll be going home in a couple of days, and they figured he'd be in this cast, it's up to hip on down for 6 months, so he'll go back to Long Beach Hospital, and then he'll be outpatient for about 6 months. So he'll just be laying around the house there in the cast for about 6 months, so he's made out pretty good. And I told you that 146 got hit, I don't know if it was by a rock or what, and before, or last night, yesterday evening. And then one gunner got killed, and another guy was expected to live. And the other two, I guess, were just goofed up pretty good. And then after that, another 46 got shot down, and the corpsman was in it. He didn't get out. Everybody else got out of the plane, got away. And they're raising a bunch of hell around here, I'll tell you. And we had flare ships out all night, and two planes out just dropping flares around the area just constantly, and one come in, refuel, and pick up more flares, and then draw out, and then the other one to come in and refuel. They just kept going all night long. And it's pretty, you know, right in close to us. Like, they wiped that one village out down there 12 miles south of us there. And this morning, there's a convoy. I went down about 20 miles south of us today to this resupply, this one. Hill, they got some about 3 106s up on this hill, and we went up in there, and they told us when we come in there, if we took any fire, don't worry about hitting anybody, because there's no friendlies around, just send them up on the hill, and well, we didn't take any, and then we dropped them chow and ammo, and picked up our water buffalo that he had and hauled that back out. And so they're down there by themselves, and I wouldn't want to be down there. And if there's, they're see, our lines are stretched pretty thin now. We're pulling these out, Marines out of the area here. I'm smoking a cigarette and talking at the same time. And so it's a good, you know, time for them to keep moving in. And they caught a guy infiltrating in here last night, you know, part of a suicide squad. And so they come in a few at a time, and then they regroup up someplace. If one gets through the wire in a certain place, the rest will try getting through, you know. And I'll come in and try and raise hell with your aircraft and that. And I went out
took a shower just a little while ago with your mom. Quarter to 10 now. Oh, about an hour ago, I guess. And the moon is kind of clouded over a little bit. And it's real calm and no wind or anything. It's real nice night for another rocket attack. So, I went through my wall auger tonight and cleaned that out and this other stuff. And I put all this stuff in this Foot Locker to send to you. And it's mostly all clothing because I picked up that box I had this afternoon. When I got back from flying, I went up to the post office and got that box from Okinawa. And I put a bunch of stuff in there. And I got a pair of boots and nothing of any real value. I put about 16 tapes that you sent to me in there. And I put a big tarp-like deal, camouflage deal, that Stewie can make a tent out of. And this other guy's going to send it home on his orders, but they check it for contraband, like narcotics and weapons. And I don't know if they'll let some of the stuff I'm sending go or not. And that attaché case, I didn't put that in there. It was too bulky to take up too much room. And that other tape recorder, I didn't put that in there either. And I figure I'll send them together in another box if I can find a box the right size. And, you know, you get it non-insured, or well, I won't insure it, but I'll just send it, you know, like that. And Foot Locker, they said, takes about anywhere 12 to 18 days. So this gal, when she gets it, she'll call you, and you just pick it up on the way home from work some night. And I'll lock it, and they got to inspect it, and then he'll lock it when they get ready to create it. They'll probably put some bands on it, man. And then I'll send you the key, so you have the key for it when you pick it up. And, well, this thing's about gone. And I was thinking I'll tape some on the other side. And then I'll leave the mic plugged in and it turned on and everything. And then all I gotta do is push the button on the mic. And if we start taking incoming tonight, I'll turn it on and see how it sounds on tape. And, I wonder if anybody's ever tried that before. I imagine they have. Let's see, see if it comes out on tape or not. That's really a weird sound when that little fragments come whistling in. And they come from quite a distance, you know. It's, you know, 40 miles away. Well, this side's about gone. I can hear some motors going off out there. I don't know if you're picking them up or not. You hear that boom every so often. And a bunch of planes took off a little while ago. A bunch of gunships. And they took a couple of, they got these new Cobras that we got, Marine Corps got. And they put it, not put it, but they put bomb pods on them. And so they're carrying two 500-pound bombs now and 20 Mike guns, and plus their rockets. So they're armed for the teeth, you know. And they launched them out last night. This one place where Bull Rider got hit, Dave. Talking about Bull Rider, this place down there where he got hit. They dropped him at Hurst Med over there. And they came back in to refuel, and they called in, and they wanted another gunner, and they took off again and went out. And they went back down there. And when they get down there, where this house was, where it was taking fire in it, they just opened up on it with their 50s, you know, and got it burning good. And then gunships come in, and they just wiped the whole place out, just leveled it. So whoever hit them, they got snuffed, you know, whoever was down there. And so, well, I don't know, not much has been happening. I got colonel's coming around and see how we're doing on embarkation. And the Army, they had some meeting someplace with the Army, and they want to know about keeping our birds over here because they haven't got anything that can lift, you know, nearly what we can to help them out. And I don't know if we're going to get out of here or not, you know, our squadron, or all of it. I don't know. And that's what's goofy. It changes from day to day, you know. But the way they're moving in around here, Christ, it's like they own the area, you know, instead of us. And the Army, I don't know where the hell the Army is. They're supposed to be taking over all this area. And like I said, when I left before, we had it all secured. Every place I was at was real good, you know, pretty well made. And then we moved further north, and the Army came and took over where we was at. And then after the Army took over, they started getting hit, and crisis, not secure at all, or every place they go, you know. So, and that package that you never got, don't ever, you know, just forget about that, because I know that guy never mailed it, so but there's no way I can prove it, so just forget about that. And I got both your packages. I got all the packages all the way up to the pillow now, and everything got here in good shape. And the prunes, I got all the prunes and everything, and I take them about every other day when I think of it. I don't remember every day. Like this morning, I left in a hurry, and then I come in. There's a lot of work. I got to get down there early in the morning, get ready for this inspection. So, I don't know, you just play it by ear, you know, day by day. And, just keep, you know, keep at it. But at least I'm active, you know, now. And enjoy what I'm doing, you know, feel that I'm, you know, not just sitting around with some stupid reserves or something. At least I'm doing my part, you know. And what the hell, that's what we're trained for. All that, you know, so you can't complain when you finally get to do what you're supposed to do. So if I sound like I'm complaining in some of these letters, I'm not, or these tapes. I'm just telling you a few things that are happening around the area is all, and that's probably what you want to know. Oops, had my foot on this little stool and it knocked my cigarettes off of my lighter. Well, yeah, I heard JB barking real loud, and somebody must have come to the door or something. Yeah, his voice sounds pretty familiar. So, and well, it's all about those tapes. You say you always taped, you know, and you never went as long as 4 days. Well, a couple of times I got two tapes in a row, you know, two tapes in one day. And that's probably accounted for the slack, and I wasn't really keeping track of the dates on or the days. And I probably should put on a calendar what the days I receive them. And this and that. But I haven't been. So I flew today, so I shouldn't fly for another day or two. You know, if all goes well. And, well, I don't mind flying, but I got so damn much other work to do, and this kind of wrecks your whole day. And, like, I was off yesterday because I had a duty and all that. I was up all night. I was off yesterday, and I didn't know that I was on the schedule to fly this morning. They just come in and woke me up at 5 and says, get down there, you know. Normally, you know, the night before if you're on or not, you know, if you're gonna fly the next day or not. So Well, let's see how much it's got taped here. You hear those guys talking, that's next door. They got a hooch, they got a little patio spilled out, and it comes right over by my hooch, or right over by my window here. Or not window, but my screen, whatever you want to call it. And sometimes they have some pretty good parties over there. But I manage to sleep, you know. I'm pretty tired when I go to sleep. And get up in the morning, I think, boy, tonight, as soon as I get home, if I get home at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever it is, I'm going to crawl on my nest and go to sleep. But I never do, it seems like. That's what I thought this morning when I had to get up so early. I thought, boy, if I'm there by my rack at 7 o'clock, I'm going to get in it. And here it is, 11 o'clock now. Well, maybe I'll let this go for now. And, well, you gave me that rundown on your number in A, B. I got the A one here. Now, when I send this back, I don't want to send an A. I want to send one that hasn't been marked yet, right? So that eventually they all get marked. And then by the time I run out of ones that haven't been marked, when I run out of ones here, I think I got 4 left or 3 left. Well, then eventually they'll all be marked, right? And then you can tell if you're missing any or not. That sounds like a good idea. So, well, just a minute. Let me check and see how many I got over there. Okay, I got 4 here, and these 4 haven't got any, you know, A's or B's or anything on them. So I'll use one of these to mail to you. And let's see. Yeah, I'll send one of these, and you can put a stamp on it. I'll save this A one, this mailer, until I've used these other 3 yet, or whatever is in the mail now, if you haven't put 8 marks on them. So on. I'm gonna hit the rack, and if anything happens tonight, I'll flip this on, and you may catch some of the action. Otherwise, I'll just pop it out there in the morning, flip it in one of these tapes on the way to mess hall and nail it. So, I love you all back there, and don't work too hard, be good, and give JB a bath, and try, you know, make him quit biting the mail, chewing on the mail, and just say hi to everybody. So, if I don't talk to you anymore on this tape, I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Okay, I'll let you know how I made out my inspection with all my boxes and my paperwork and embark stuff. So, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, good night. Morning, hon. Today's April Fool's, and we had a quiet night. Nothing happened. So, I'm going to wrap this tape up and put it in the mailer. I'm going to chow now, so we'll talk to you tonight. I'll probably get some tapes for me today. I didn't get anything yesterday. So, bye now.
First, that's payday. And so you know what that means. Tonight's the big night out in the back room. And it's now 8:30, and I get home about 6:30, and I'm just standing out there watching them play cards. And they're just in the stage of the card playing right now. And then they get the crap table all set up, and it hasn't swung into action yet. And so I'm all hot and sweaty. And I'm going to take a shower pretty soon. I'm going to lay this down on the rack. Turn my volume up here and see if you can pick it up. And I have a smoke here and change clothes. I'll have to take a shower here in a little bit. And apparently, real lot of sleep time because of the big game out there. I got to fly in the morning. I got to get up at 5. And couldn't come through for that inbound inspection today. We passed okay. Everybody, it was just more of a walkthrough, more or less, and check to see how we're progressing on it, how far along we were. The way things keep up, I don't know if we'll be able to get out of here right away or not. They were sitting at their machine gun in our front gate last night, and they used a starlight on them, a scope, to pick them out, it makes them look like daytime, so I saw Gunner and his assistant Gunner up there, and they sent some Marvins out, and they got them. Between us and Anwar right now, there's nothing. That's where all the other craft can happen, about 100 miles from the road. And there's nothing except our pseudo company that is our own to protect our base. Otherwise, there's nothing else. So, imagine out and then they got one. I told you the other night they got inside, inside the perimeter here in that. Between that and what it is, I guess it's up to us, to protect ourselves. So, I picked you up something today. And this guy picked up, this guy that went home and got hit. And that he backed out of here. This other guy came off R&R and he picking up something on R&R, and he asked him to pick up, so he wasn't there, so I paid him for him, and I got him from him. He was up, he got him up in Taipei, Formosa, and so what they are is earrings, and let's see what they look like. Well, I know what they look like. They're jade. And it's got a little necklace with it, And it's gold. And it's what they look like is, that mint candy? That, it's just things I'll tell you. Anyhow, those mint leaves of candy that I like? Excuse me. That soft candy, kind of that green, they're shaped something like that, like mint petals, and it's jade. And the thing is, though, you gotta pierce your ears. The deal where you gotta have your ears pierced to wear an earring. And you probably could hook them on another kind some way. Pretty good, you might like them, I don't know, so if you don't know, but they're all, earrings and necklace, and it's cold, and pretty soft stuff. something the way they hung Callie, you know. Poor son of a bitch. It's just a scapegoat is all he is. As long as they do that, it's just opening the door, you know, for mutiny or whatever you want to call it. The guy can, in his position, any officer, any line officer, or company officer, and they tell him to do something, to go someplace or take his men and go here or there, you can tell him to hang in his ass, you know. He ain't going to do it because why should he? If he can get hung for it himself. And no matter if disobey an order or not, it's better to disobey an order than spend his life at hard labor. That's what he got hard labor out of it, so. And as far as shooting gooks, I ain't going to, you know, I'd shoot him myself, you know. And these guys that tried him, maybe they were one-time line officer just like himself, you know, they had a company for platoon themselves, you know. But they had a line, that's what the old saying, line officer. It's always a second, first lieutenant or something like that, captain, becoming commander. And they did have a line in front of them. And they knew where their line was, you know. They were always behind it or moving the line forward. So when it's just all around you all the time, you never know. These guys that were his judge and jury, they weren't in the same position as he was, you know, day after day. So when you say shoot those gooks in that mill, they're all enemies, but the hell, shoot them. And just because you're, like, your husband's a VC, you do what your husband says, and you go with him and that, and so you gotta expect it. You know, it's just one of the breaks. So, I think you got hung on that. So I heard that Wallace popped in there, says that from now on, nobody from the state of Alabama will be drafted into the armed forces. He's going to abolish all selective service in Alabama until Nixon pardoned Kelly, which he should do. And even then, these officers that hung him, they crucified the whole army when they did that, so nobody from then on. I'm glad it wasn't the Marines that did it. So, they sure give the army a black name, and these guys, these all young officers, you can't expect them to do things, you know, out of the extraordinary or anything, because why should they get hung like that for it? So, well, anyhow, I kind of got that off my chest, I guess. And, let's see, maybe I might drop $20 in that cram game out there after I get started. And, maybe I can win enough to get a slide projector. I can't stay up too late, because I got to get up early in the morning. And that game, when I get up at 5, that game will still be going. Well, let's see. I'm gonna start changing clothes just a minute. Yeah, well, that's quite a statement, huh? Yep, well, I really, you know how I am, I'm making tapes. So I'm just gonna start changing and kind of talking as I'm doing it. And I'm sure if there have to be an announcer or something like that, you know. Talk to a mic. It would probably last for about one day and that would be it, because I'd be repeating myself and I wouldn't, you know, have anything to say. There, I don't know what would be of interest that it is. See, you know, it's real, man. This guy from, I was talking to this guy, he's up here tonight, he's right, they haven't started shooting yet, he's just waiting for a target. down in PMO. They're Provost Marshal's office and that, and they know what's all happening around the area, the perimeter, you know. And they said, we got an outpost out across the river out there, plus a patrol's out working on that area tonight, so. And these guys in the squadron, so they got duty sections in there. They want to call them out.
You know all about that. You're the locksmith and I'm the safe man.
Speaking of safeness, I gotta get hot on these days. I haven't done any lessons since I got it. I got it about 3 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. Maybe tomorrow night. The way it looks now, the colonel spoke to troops this morning, and the cutoff date, they wanted the cutoff dates up to October 31st. So that means that the people that will be going to to Hawaii, you have to have a be here before October 31st last year to be eligible to go to Hawaii. Anybody that came after that, they got to go back to the rear to Oki or Japan or someplace. So I guess I'll get stuck back here. And this Snyder, this Master Sergeant Snyder, he said that, I've known him from before, and I told him about him. He's master of enemy sergeant. He said he'd like to have me go with him. He said I'd like to pick about six people to go to war. He's going, and Captain Remainus is going. And but he's out of his hands. He can't choose. He wants to go. He asked me the other day where I'd like to go, and I said, just go with the squadron and set up a tour in Hawaii, you know. He says, okay, but then he told me today, that he was going, and there's only seven people from the squadron. Seal and told me that he came over when I did the same plane, and he won't be going either.
Just listening to that, where it got cut off, and boy, they started the dice game back there now. And it's really coming in loud, isn't it? And I had this sitting down on the deck here, or on the bed here. And I was talking to you, and I wasn't coming in too clear, so I'll hold it a while. Yeah, like I was saying, Snyder said that if it's all possible, he'd get me to go to Hawaii with the squadron, but there's only, like I said, seven people going. And so I'll end up back on Oki. Most likely you're there in Japan. And, however, you know, it might be a good deal back there. I might, you know, fall into something decent. So, you never know. And I won't be getting, any leave, I doubt at all. They came up today, and anybody that wanted 14 days leave back in the States had to put in for it to take during April, May, or June. 14 days they had to put in for it now. And I don't have any leave on the books. Well, in fact, I'm 33 days advance or something like that. And so when my enlistment runs out in December, I'll be about even or about 6 or 8 days. You know, have on the books. So, I guess I'll just be spending my full tour over here without any R&R or any leave. So, but the time goes pretty fast. Let's see, this is April, so I've been here in I've been gone since middle of 20th of January. It's February and March. 10 weeks. Is that right? February, March. Yeah, 10 weeks I've been gone. And time just scoots by because there's so much to do. You know, it's not boring at all like it was back there. It's always something happening, you know. And that's what I hated about Los Al there, is just a bore. and you couldn't operate like a helicopter outfit, you know, what you're used to. You had to act like fixed wing, operate like fixed wing people, and there's a difference between the caliber of people, or the, I don't know why it is, but it just is, like night and day, breed or something, I don't know. And that's why I hated that place so much back there. But now I'm just talking again. I don't know what to talk about. Excuse me. I don't know where I'm gonna be flying tomorrow. What kind of house I'll tell you about tomorrow night, wherever I went. And I'm getting pretty good. At least I'm pretty consistent on getting these tapes in the mail, you know. And I'll say that for me. I got it. Let's see, I didn't get anything mailed today either. I didn't get any yesterday, and I didn't get any today. Well, tomorrow I probably will. You know, it seems like they get bunched up. Maybe I get two at a time, you know. So I don't know how this whole postal system works. There was mail today, but it wasn't very much. It was kind of, you know, pretty, hardly anybody got anything. So, you hear him out there playing dice? Well, I got my t-shirt off and my one shoe and sock, so I think I'll take the other one off here. And I'm going to put this back down on the bed here. This bag here is what I got in stuff to pack. The tape recorder in that when I mail it. So I lean my mic up against that. That's what that crackling noise is, if you heard it. And I guess this guy's going to take this stuff over tomorrow and down to ship it. So, I should, that's the first, so you should have it before the end of the month. Or you should pick it up in about 20 days or get a phone call, you know, that it's there. On this foot locker, right above where the lock is on the top, I just stenciled Pete. So he's shipping about 3 foot lockers, so you know which ones. And the keys number is, I think, 2850, and it same matches the lock. So, you'll be getting a phone call to pick that up one of these days. And like I said, I got that big piece of plastic. Oops, the mic just fell over on his face. I got that big piece of plastic for we can make a tent or shower hat or something. No, it's pretty big. And it's pretty thick, you know, thicker than the regular tent or shower hat that he's got. And it's all camouflaged on both sides. And it's all, you know, like rubberized. When I put some rain gear in there that I had, some extra rain gear, I don't think it's going to be raining down here anymore. And like I put those boots, and I put the tapes. And I guess I told you last night, though, excuse me. I really can't think of a thing I say when I make these darn tapes. Well, a lot of times, you know, if I get a tape for you, I can write stuff down. But I haven't really got anything to written
down than they can stay in it. So, let's take our light and see right here. How's the goldfish doing? There's a subject we can talk about a while. See, getting down to just a very few, so when you have the house done, you won't have so many to move. Well, that's good thinking, you know. And the dog, I heard him bark real loud on that last tape. And you keep telling how he's such a goofy dog. You know, people he was brought up with when he's a pup, you know. So that's what makes him goofy. He hung around too many goofy people here. But that was funny that day when we was over there fishing and that guy was sitting there and he was all wet and he ran over and jumped up on his lap, you know, and wanted to be friends with him. You know, it would be worse if you know what a grouch that Alfonso turned out to be. And I don't think he'd ever get like that. And, what Stewie's got this gang in the backyard there, you know, he thinks that they're a dog too or something. They all come to play, and whatever they want to do, he wants to run along with them and be right with them, you know. And, or else he thinks he's a boy, a little boy or something. And, but it's funny how he plays with them, you know, run along, you know, he's in his glory, like they come in his backyard to play with him or something, or gang come over to his house, you know. I don't think he'd ever bite any of them. He just took a sip of beer. And, but I think he's a, for the price, there's nothing you can beat that. Papers go on him. I guess about like it, you know, I have for him would be 20 papers or something like that. How's your chipmunk doing? I haven't heard much about him lately. Is he still healthy? And how's he get along with the dog now? You say you let him out to run around the rug. Either watch him when he's running around the rug, doesn't he try to play with him or put his foot on him or something? Slapping him with his paw? One good slap and I'd be about the end of him, the way he, you know, goes up and slaps that turtle sometimes. And he had said he thought the turtle was around, but he'd never seen him yet, huh? That's what I should look around for, is a turtle. I have to talk to these house girls here and these fishermen that go out. Maybe they give me a turtle. I haven't really, I don't ever recall seeing too many of them around here, though. You know, you see these fishing people go out all the time. But I don't recall seeing any turtles. I know the time I pull in Acapulco, there's all kinds of turtles. These boats, they just come in and we get off the ship, and it's about 9:30 or 10 in the morning, I guess, when Liberty went. And we pulled in the Liberty launch, and the ships that had been out fishing from early in the morning, they pulled in and parked there, and they had turtles hanging all over the side of them, you know, big seagoing jars. And I had to get a real nice big turtle shell or a mounted turtle, you know, over here. Well, maybe when I get back to Oki, I can pick up one. And, well, this is a little over half through now, the tape. And I'm going to go take a shower when I get done. And we got to go out and get that crab game for a little while. And then go ahead and hit the rack. Tomorrow I'll let you know how much I lost.
should have addressed it for that credit union. I should be doing that now. I'm dropping out here a while. So, I don't know if that, you know, that thing I got from the VA and it's got your address on it. And I wonder if that's going to get goofed up between the school's got this address and they get your address, how it's going to get all goofed up on that. Because of the change, if I don't send the VA a change the address, then we'll wait and see. And I guess if I remember, the school sends you that thing to fill out for how many credits I got coming. So I think I got six lessons. I got around $45 coming back, I guess, something like that, for this period.
Moisture and all, after a rain or something, it gets real humid like over here. And then it gets
real sticky and hot. And if I get a chance, I'd come up at noon and change t-shirts. Really, I'm yawning again. Well, I can't see too much on this tape left, so I'm going to sign off. And, well, I love you, hon. I'll try and get a Geiger counter or something while I'm over here someplace. And when I get home, we'll go up there to that land and check it out. And studio like that.
Thank you. I'd like to sleep out of the mortars and tell me mortars and machine gun fire out there. So they're probing us. We still hear a small arms fire there. So. Trying to get in our perimeter.
Down after another sign went off again, and they started giving lobs and shorts, and I mean, we had to go down to the hangar and get our weapons and that, and see, you can have them up in the tent area, old staff can have them up here, but I don't bother bringing that 45 up and then turning it in every morning, you know, again, so I might start doing it, though, and, when the first one woke me up, it was incoming mortars. Oh, we got a mortar barrage in here. And then after that, after the barrage hit, and these guys in the back room were shooting crap, and man, they were scattering and running all over, you know, to back their own hooches and that to get their flax vests and stuff. And then after we had that barrage, that's when they turned the siren on. And then I was on the deck, and I was thinking, well, heck, I got that tape in there, because I thought we might get hit, you know, last night. So I reached up and turned it on, and it was laying down, you know, I was laying on its back and pointing straight up, and so the sound sounds funny, and those booms, a lot of that was outgoing mortars and flares being shot up in the air just to light up the area. But there was a lot of, machine gun automatic weapon fire there that you could pick out, but it still sounded funny from a distance, you know, from the way the mic was just laying on its back pointing up. But anyhow, gives you an idea what it's hard sleeping when they, especially when you gotta go flying in the morning when they pull crap like that and siren blaring and you're trying to sleep, you know, and the way you're supposed to get out of Iraq. And but so it's really bad is when those rockets come in. And so I think I'll start putting a cartridge in here at night. And next time we get hit by rockets, boy, you can really hear those things whistle in. And this is the next night, you know. And you just hear that siren that's right next door over there. They're watching TV. They got one channel on the TV, and that siren or something just sounded. So, that's about all I got to say as far as that getting hit, but Stu might get a kick out of it, you know. And this is, mind you, it started about 3:15. No, it started about 2:15, 2:10, 2:20, something like that. And it lasted for about an hour or so. And then they sound sirens for all clear and this and that. And we came back up to the hangar. And back from the hangar back up here, and I hit the rack, but I couldn't sleep because I had to get up in about an hour, and I just didn't get back to sleep again. So it's been a long day. And I'll get this other side taped. And so instead of putting this as side one, I'll put this as side two and mark your side as side one, because if you just turned it on, probably you think that your the tape was goofed up, because it sounds like a hum instead of a siren, you know. That's just the way the sound effects or the mic was sitting, I guess. But here, the siren is real shrill and real loud, you know. And they got different areas here on the base that sometimes there's three or four sirens going, you know, at once. And, you know, from different parts of the base. And so anyhow, they didn't do us any harm. And they just goofed up some trucks and stuff. And didn't get any of the aircraft in that. And so, well, I'm going to take and strip this, or quit this side, and just leave it like it is. And then sometime at Christmas or New Year's or something, when I'm home, we'll play this other side back again and laugh about it then, you know. But it's kind of weird at night, you know, when you get woke up like that. And that's what's bad, really bad, is those rockets. They're, you know, they're very big, huge things, and they really can make a lot of noise on the way in, and when they hit, they really throw a lot of shrapnel around. And, well, it's a sure goofy deal, us pulling out like this, and they're just getting stronger and stronger when we leave. Boy, I feel for those Vietnamese, because they're going to run over them just like nothing.
that that tape today. I got that hoping or Russia from London. They were shipping all that stuff. Russia's shipping all that stuff to them, so helped the cause a little, you know. Today's the 2nd, and it's about 7:30 night, and I'm going to get this tape off to you, and then I got another tape. I got two tapes for me today, and let's see. I'm pretty tired, and the tape you sent, you know, you mailed this one the 27th, and or you made it the 27th, and then you that was on a Saturday, and today's Friday here. So it seemed like a long time. I got two tapes. One was the 27th, 28th, and 29th. On one tape, you got 2 dates, you know. And seemed like a long time, you know. Like 4 days it took to get here. Like when I opened the tapes and it says the 27th for one, and I'm getting them on a Saturday and I get them on a Friday. Seems like a long time, you know. So as far as you're not taping, I'm not saying that. I'm just complaining about the service, you know, the mail service. And so anyhow, I sent you that tape last night and I told you about the big poker game is going on, or the dice game, and that and everything was happening out there. And you sent this tape and it's talking about the last guys out who took care of them and that, you know. And our squadron will be the last squadron here, you know. We'll be flying when everybody else isn't, when they're getting ready. The other squadrons, theirs are all going to be take the blades off and everything, and we'll be flying right up to the last minute. In fact, we'll fly aboard our planes when we get rid of them, put them aboard the carrier. And I don't know, I've written some stuff down here. I was listening to your tape and I wrote a bunch of stuff down here. And now this is going to be the goofiest tape you ever heard. I just got done with the sneezing spell. And I taped your tape last night, and I was telling you about the club was being closed for inventory and being payday and everything, and it would be a good night for Charlie to hit, you know. So we got hit again last night, and I had the other side of this tape in the recorder, and so before I went outside, I turned it on, and the siren is going, and through the whole thing, it's the siren's blaring away, and but you can hear the incoming rounds and the small arms fire. We had firefights all over the place here last night, and we didn't get hit with any rockets. We got mortared, and didn't get any planes, and hit this one mortar pool, though, a bunch of trucks and jeeps and stuff. But then get an aircraft, and it was about 2:15, and I had to go flying this morning at, I figured at 5, and finally got back in bed, and they sounded all clear, and we had to go down the line, and try to, you know, to draw weapons at the armory, and that everybody went down there. Because we expect them to get broke in on, you know, get through our lines or our perimeter. And so by the time I got goofing around, I tried to sleep again, back to sleep again. That was about, about 3:45, I guess. And about 4:30, they come by for the early calls, and or 20 to 5. And so I had to get up, and I went flying. And I just flew this morning, and we was back early. We was in by 11:30.
And we just hauled water and ammo and supplies and some artillery pieces. We took, I guess, some that the barrels are bad, burn up around or something. And they're way out. They're out here on these hills on top of these mountains is what they are. And they're just a little bit. You can just barely get a helicopter in there besides them, you know. And they got two or three artillery guns up on these hills and that. And we got to supply them with chow and food and ammo and brought them new guns and pick them up over at First Marines there, pick up their guns and haul them out to them. Or first you go out and get the bad ones. They got them in, you know, in placements. Haul them out and then go get new ones and bring them back to them, you know. And anyhow, on the other side of the tape, this is actual attack, and but the sirens blaring through the whole thing, and my radio here and my recorder is sitting up here against the screen on a little ledge, and then next to that is my Kleenex, so I just put the speaker here on the laser on top of the box of Kleenex, and I just flipped it on, and I got ready to grab my gear and get out of here, and sitting face up, and the sirens coming from the screen side, right next to it, right from the side. So it doesn't sound like a siren, it sounds like a steady hum, but it's a siren just blaring, constant blare, and you can hear the stuff in the background. And then this one side, when I came back, it just ran out by itself, and so I don't think there's there ain't any talking on that one side. And anyhow, you get an idea what it sounds like if it was faced one, if I had it standing up facing outboard, it would have been, real clear, but it was just facing straight up at the ceiling laying down. And so all you hear is that hum of the siren, like, and it doesn't even sound like a siren, it just sounds like a beep noise, you know. But they're getting closer and closer, you know, getting in, trying to get in on us, and they're after our ass anyhow. They hate our helicopters. We always, you know, if they can knock out all the helicopters around there, all these outposts and everybody out there, they'd have them at their mercy. And as soon as anything's happening, we got flare birds dropping flares all night around the area here, and we launch gunships. They're all ready to go, you know. And these gunships, some of them got these big, call them the eye in the sky, and they just light up the place like day, just like a big searchlight going around the area. And if they see a place where you can see fire coming from, you know, they just shine it down on there. And there's the gunships with them without their lights, you know, running lights on, and they just start opening up from the air down on them, you know. And pretty effective that way. And so anyhow, that's what's on the other side of this tape. So you probably want to keep this one. And what else do I get down on here? Well, he's talking about making your tape and about the dry run while, you know, checking everything out. You know, checkoff list, you know, they make a little list and put next to it, or paste it right on the thing, and then you just go right down the little checkoff list and you push each button and you get everything all set up before you start. Yeah, I told you I got that, you said I'm going to have to start using all these hour tapes now. Well, I packed 17 of them in a footlocker before I got this tape, see, and Woody mailed it. No, he didn't mail it today, I don't think. He's going to mail it tomorrow. Anyhow, there's 17 tapes, all those hour ones, on their way back in that footlocker. And I put those shelves in there that you sent me, which is real nice, and they looked real like it would really be nice, you know, but I don't want to use them over here because we're not going to be here that long, and all the dust and sand, you know, just blows in here through the screens, and we just wreck them. So if I get to Oki or someplace like that where I get, you know, it's a real good deal, to use those, where it'd be halfway clean, you know, and that, and wouldn't just get ruined. So
I might, you know, send for them later. And it's kind of a shame to spend the postage on them and then send them back again, but I didn't want to see them get ruined, you know, either. And he said something about my motorcycle, keeping that tarp on it. Well, I sent that tarp home, too, and I never used it. I was just going to build a lean-to out here for it, and then they tore all of our bunkers and stuff out. And I tell you about that they tore all of our bunkers out around here to beautify the place, because I don't know who gave the order. And since they all got finally tore out, the gooks tore them out, and that's when we started getting hit. And that makes a lot of sense, you know. And they want to make this place look nice for the Army to take over, I guess. I don't know. And anyhow, in the daytime, he said that my bike sits out in that. No, when I go to work, I park it right in the hangar, right in front of my shop there in the hangar. So it's inside all day long. It sits out at night. And anyhow, yeah, it'll be all right. It'll get by. And when I get ready to leave, I'll just sell it. And well, he's talking about that Yule book that, or that Coos book. He never gotten this net, you know, so, yeah, that guy, he probably sent it home himself, because I know he was trying to get a hold of one, you know. And so he probably sent it home himself, so that, just don't worry about that anymore. And there's no way I can prove it or anything, so nothing's ever going to happen. You know, we'll never see it, so just, you know, forget about it. And I still got a box and a half, or more than that, probably box and three-fourths of Kleenex. So I'm still good on Kleenex. And, yeah, as far as that rubber stamp deal goes, you said you had your typewriter there. You was going to do it that night. And go ahead and, type them, you know, for information, isn't that? Because I did, and I haven't heard anything from them, so maybe you'll hear something. And you was talking about how the mail gets goofed up, like me coming over and getting stuck at Oki for a few days before I came down the country and that. Well, everybody comes to Oki, see, there's nobody to fly straight through, because you got to get shots and you got to issue clothes and stuff like that there. Every plane does, so that would have nothing to do with it. I mean, you don't fly the same plane. We just happen to fly the same airlines both times, but it's not the same aircraft, you know. And that's what he was thinking of. Let's see here. What's the second here? I'm going to go outside here to make a hidden call.
Well, he's talking about kind of nice and that, and me sleeping, you know. And he had to be so quiet around the house. I never said to be quiet around there. He was always saying you didn't turn this on and on until I woke up, and he wouldn't let the kids do that. And I said it didn't bother me, you know, and I was just slept light. And I guess I wasn't as tired then. I just, you know, when I sleep now, I'm so tired, I'm like sleeping like a log. And one thing, like on the radio, somebody's got a radio on, and or a TV or something, and I'll, like, I'm a real nosy person, you know, and I'll try and make out what they're saying, and I try and pick up the words, and I just strain myself to listen, to try and catch a word now and then. I'm trying to put a sentence together and this and that, and I'll bug myself to death just trying to stay awake, trying to listen to something, you know. And if it's distant and I can't hear it, if radio's on, for instance, and I can hear it good, I'll just go to sleep. But if it's so I can just barely hear it, I'll keep straining and straining and straining. I don't know why, but and that's what I was talking about, the TV, you know, at night sometimes I'd say, well, turn the TV down, because I always try to listen, and I can't break myself of it. I don't know why I do that. And, yeah, you know, those dehumidifiers, if they do all you say, that's what I should have been Should have got one to put in that room of mine there. And so, you know, it would probably help my sinus out. Because in the morning when the fog used to come in, you know, my head would just swell up like a balloon. And that probably, a dehumidifier would probably take that out of the air as it, you know, as it came in. And he was talking about this one tape that you mailed the 27th or something, or the 17th, and you got back the 27th, and made it 10 days or so, or take a day going or coming or something like that. Well, if it, you know, if you, when you send something one way, you gain a day, and you go the other way, you lose a day, so it still comes out the same amount of days. I just thought I'd bring that up to you, too, you know, instead of hitting that point when you're going around the world and the east stops and west starts again. It doesn't happen that way. It's just, you know, and I thought that was kind of comical. You're always going the same way if you're going east, and you're still always going east. You're east of where you left, you know, or else you're west of where you left. You're always going the same way, and the only way you can go the other way is just turn around. So, anyhow, you straighten, you got that straightened out yourself, I think. And, let's see. Oh, that's too bad about JB going out there and burping in that tent, that camp out area, you know. But at least he's a smart dog, you don't do it in the house, you know. And, so, that tape's just about gone, so I better sign off. On this other side, it's not nothing, no talking or nothing. It's just what I flipped on when I left, and I just ran until the 15 minutes ran out. And when I came back, I punched it in, you know. And there's all you can hear is sirens, but you can hear the... Today's third, it's Saturday night, and it's 7:30. And, I got two yesterday, and let's see, Friday, no, I got two yesterday. One step ahead of you on that. And he said he's
sent a box and we put some tapes in and they're handing me out this, you know, so when you're sending those Pal and Sam's and he's telling me his Valentine's Day with that tape and that, I was getting them the same day or the next day. So I don't know how this partial post is going to go. If you mail it yesterday, I got this tape that I didn't get the box yet, so maybe partial post ain't the answer. I don't know about that. And Stewie, he said he was going to, you know, make this tea. Well, you know, this tea they made out of pine leaves, the thing behind it is when you're, you haven't got nothing else, it's nourishing and it warms you up, you know. It's food diet, taken out of the pines. It's supposed to be all food. And this site's going to be out in the jungle. You know, monkeys you can eat, you know. And squirrels and different animals like that you can eat what they eat, you know. And I told you before, I get my box, you know, other tape, I get my box now from Okinawa. Stuff in it. I put a bunch of that stuff in there for a lot of reasons. And when they mail it today, I think it was, they told him about 3 days it would be there. So I gave this gal, I think she lives out south, Green Street or something like that in Santa Ana. I don't know if it was Green or Green or, I don't know, she'll call you. It's over towards, it's not too far from you. Yeah, you were talking about been rotten, the weather's been kind of overcast there. Yeah, it seems like about 3 o'clock here yesterday and today, the real dark, just like it was going to, the sun has been shining real good, and then it got dark, it was going to rain, and it got chilled off, and the wind blowing on. And a few drops fell yesterday, just drops is off. And it didn't rain, it did the same thing today. It kind of dark and cloudy tonight. Kind of about the fish, some more fish died, you know, you think that they're sick or something, you know. And, well, when you die like that, well, you can't get much sicker when you die. So I think you're right. There must be something wrong with them. So I was thinking maybe you'd have luck going back to that other filter where you changed the cotton in that instead. Because you know how that gunk that comes out of that cotton, and you just change the cotton, and these other fillers just stays in there all the time and fillers around and stagnates on the bottom, like, you know. And if they're not doing their job right, you can't really tell. But if forest, you know, don't get dirty in that. You're the cotton, you know that something isn't working right. And in these big aquariums, you know, where they get a special all the time, it seems like they, most of the time they use those big filters that hang on the back, and maybe they put two or three of them in a great big tank. And maybe that one that hangs on the back that I started with, and that was the best one. You ought to give it a try once. Maybe just try it on a small aquarium and just see how much dirt it takes out of that, you know, over a period of time. And you mentioned that about your kitchen prices and stuff. Just for the heck of it, you ought to call Robbie up and tell him that he said to call and give you, he'd give you an estimate at least, you know. And the owner comes out and asks him, say, hey, you forgot to bring that piece of thing or whatever it was, molding. And he'd probably bring it out and probably give you a pretty good, you know, estimate. Your price. And let's see, I got something here I couldn't make out what I meant by it. Well, he was talking about JB is always coming off of South Hawaii's begging from you. He's a big beggar. He's squalling. Like Bumpy said, he's a squall plant. I don't know if you'll remember when I'm gone to America. For a year like him, he says, how many years? So I spot to him, I'd be gone a couple, 3 years or something like that, or 6 years. I don't know if you remember. And let's see. You said to tell you, stop to put in the box, you know, and you send goodies in there. And old potato chips, you know, those ones 3 cents that time was pretty good. Nobody ever gets them over here. When I drink my beer, I might have a couple of 3 beers, 4 beers. And they really got me off, you know, really went good. So that would be one thing to get some once in a while, be potato chips. And they got my shower shoes. And, I had the house mouse go out and works down on the other end, Missy High. She's having a baby, she's off now, she had a baby boy. So, but she got them for me the other day. And, you said something about the squatting going to Hawaii and this and that, you know, who go where, you know. Well, there's only a few people who will be going to squatting, you know, reform it and start all over again when he gets to Hawaii. And, like, the colonel came over, this colonel I got now, we came over in the same bird, you know. And he's not even going with the squatting. He'll be going back to Okinawa, Japan, just like me. So you've got to put so much time on your tour overseas here. And boy, he used to count overseas, but doesn't anymore. So, just straight on that. And don't send any of those. I get my cigarettes one place or another, or somebody's most someplace I get them, you know, if I run low, or if the PX run low here. And don't send me out and grow your own stuff, because that's what they do when they make marijuana. You know, they're all making their little sticks, you know. They make their own, grow their own, so I don't want to carry any of that paper around. You know what I mean? When he was talking about vacuum cleaner and this and that, you know, that little vacuum cleaner. And, you know, who cares about the sand? Everybody, you know, after a while you get used to it, you know, so in these jails they sweep it out of here all the time. It blows it, you know, they keep sweeping it out every day, so. And he said the car wouldn't start because it was dead as a doornail. And sometimes if you just move the, you know, the cables that hook up to the battery, just twist them, not twist them, but just like try to move them on the post a little bit. Don't move them, just wiggle them a little bit, and maybe they'll kick off then. Sometimes like this corrosion a little bit, and I don't get to make a good contact. But they just move just a little bit where they hook to the battery, or on the battery post, and then make contact with them. The corrosion might get underneath there. So if you want to try that, if you don't get it, you don't get jump. That might be what the problem is. And you was talking about the difference about monkey wards and why they call it that, and this and that, monkey mouth, Marble Mountain. Well, there's a Marble Mountain is right here where we are, just south of us, a mile or two. And it's just a little bit short. There's this little, not even hills, like it's just kind of jagged. The hill sticks up about maybe 700 feet in the air. And there's a couple houses up there. And they got a little couple rice paddies up there. And then down below, there's a little town like that's Marble Mountain. Well, then up by the Nang, around the bay there, there's a big, great big high mountain there, a great big huge thing. And that's Monkey Mountain. Deals. And that's why, I don't know, when you hear them talk about Monkey Mountain and Marble Mountain, they're two different places. And Marble Mountain is down by us here, Monkey Mountain's up by the Nang, and that's probably about 12 miles up the road from us. So, and he said that Jim called, and he said he thought he'd be in Hams, and that's Headquarters and Maintenance Quarter, and that's what that stands for, HMS. Headquarters and Maintenance, and they support all the other squadrons in the group. So, right now we have about 5 squadrons here in the group. And, so whoever the squadrons are, the group is the MAG, Marine Air Group. Well, that's where Hams is. There's one with each, there's one Hams out there with every group, see. And that, they got a pretty easy life. They just work shop work and they don't really plan it. They just have major components and things they build up and fix and have them ready for you, for the squadron, when you need them, when you change the component. Like a gearbox or something, you get all these other little components and stuff that are on a gearbox where you just swap them one for another one and it's all ready to go. Their job is to support you. If you have a plane down in the field for an engine change or something like that, they should have one all ready to go. So all you got to do is just bolt it in more or less and hook up all the lines and connections and it should be ready to go. See? And still changing all the little components yourself and all this and that. That's what support squadron is supposed to do. And like they have all the test benches for all the avionics.
Somehow I got cut off there. And anyhow, Hams is an outfit that is all they're supposed to do is support you, you know. And they don't do any flying, they just like if you got transmission or a gearbox or an engine or something that's got a bad leak, and because it's just a little O-ring, but the detailed teardown of the engine takes so long to do that you're not supposed to do it yourself. You send the whole thing to Hams and let them play around and do it, and you get another one and stick in there, you know, they just things like that, and like all your avionics gear. All they do is if you got a bad radio and it's a certain radio set, well, they just change radio sets and they send the gear to avionics and they do all the work on you know, the avionics part of it. You get all the scopes and screens to check out all your modulators and insulators and all that stuff like that, you know, and they replace different things that are wrong, and they RFI them, which is ready for issue. And
we sent a bomber and Don on a fly, you know, that they're bad, and they get all for not just Oshkosh, but all the different squads with different radio gears and all that, that they just fixed right here, you know. And we'll send them back out to you to install back in the aircraft. Just a pool deal, like, you know, so many in a pool they keep, and they just draw from a pool, you know. As years go bad, you just draw another one. And that's what hands is. And let's see. What else do I got here on this list? Oh, he's talking about Mayo and time and this and that, or size. This guy that caught the pillow was wrong size and that. This guy came in the other day, was all mad. He got away from his gal, and she'd take some package down to send to him. And they weighed it and this and that. And they stamped it. And he never got it. And about 15 days later, she got a card from the post office and said that it was too big or something like that. And there's a lot of stuff in there that could have spoiled, I guess. And she was mad because the guy, they weighed it and all this and that there. And she put the postage on it. And then 15 days later, it had never been shipped from the post office. She got a card that it was oversized, I guess that's what it was. You know, so the guy catching it right there when she weighed it, he didn't. And somebody didn't ship it. They stamped it. It was oversized or something. So the guy was rude. You know, she was really mad about it, you know. And who else have I got here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about those fish dying like that, so unless you try and, you know, use that different filter and then get your water and everything all set up and let the filter run a couple of days before you put the fish in, and then check your is it your different I'm sitting here up now, there's a new flare down the middle. RH positive or factor. Check that out. Getting some taste for that tape recorder. Now I can get these 3-hour tapes over here. That's only, they're 215 for 3 hours. They're, you know, just nothing on them. Blank if you wanna. Order, you know, or if you want some, I'll send you some in the box, you know. And I got another one of those Squadron books from the other year. And I'll try mailing that again. I was thinking about, they got this gook shop right next door to the post office. And I was thinking about just taking that
tape recorder and put it inside that briefcase and you know, some other things, and just take it down there and have him wrap the whole thing up and then just mail the whole thing to you. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. And I got something about on the prunes. Yeah, you asked about the prunes. I got about a third or a fourth of the box left, so maybe in your next package you can send some more. And I really like them. They're really refreshing and good in the morning. And they stick together, so sometimes I eat two or three at a time. See, yeah, but they I really do like them. You know, and when they're cold, they taste just like the kind that you eat in a breakfast. You know. Chilled prunes, you know, this is what they taste like out of the refrigerator. And I usually pop a couple in my mouth. I don't do it all the time when I think of it, though. Go on, get on my motorcycle, wipe the seat off, it's always all wet, you know. And I got your last package of the wax, but I haven't got a chance to wax that bear yet, you know. And I think tomorrow's Sunday, and maybe I'll take off at noon and go out and tag it, you know, clean it up, put a couple of good coats to wax, put a good couple of waxes on it, and then after that just kind of brush it off or wash it off real good. But tomorrow, because it's getting rusty, I have to really clean it good. One of the mosquitoes just went by my ear, the mosquitoes are attacking tonight, so I'm going to have to spray this room down a little bit before I go to sleep. Hope those old VCs let me sleep tonight. If they start shooting their crap in here again, then I gotta put on another line and maybe go flying. So yeah, they haven't hid here for a long time, you know, but then they started just a week ago or so when they started playing games with us. But see, if a man won back, if a man won out there 15 miles or so, then they pulling them back. And it was in the paper tonight of all the, or today, the Star and Stripes, all of his outfits, the First Marines pulling out. And even our wing, we're the first, you know, First Marine Aircraft Wing, they left, they're leaving, and the headquarters and everybody's leaving. And when it comes to a whole wing, well, they got different groups, and we're group 16, MAG 16. MAG 11's a fixed wing fighter group and that, and then they got different MAGs that are within their MAGs, you know, they got TAC aircraft, and some are fighter aircraft, and some are TAC bombers, and this and that, you know, and some are just transports, and this and that, but pretty soon we're going to be the only group left here, just MAG 16 right now. And we're just getting down. When they leave here in a few weeks, well, then we're going to be the biggest group. And we only got one, two, we have five size athletes, four conference squadrons. And when they go on standdown, they're going on standby because they're, when they get ready to leave, they'll be trucked aboard, you know, and then hoisted aboard ship. And while they're not flying, when they're down, we're the only ones flying over here. And then we're supposed to fly aboard when we go aboard, you know. But man, I can imagine the wild shit that's going to break loose out here from all around the area when they stop flying too, you know. And we'll be running missions for everybody, you know. Anybody has swept around, and all the Arvins will be flying all their stuff for them, and the Koreans will be flying for the ROKs, will be flying their supplies and their. So our plans are really going to work on, I imagine. And then they're supposed to stay up enough to fly aboard ship. I don't really see how it's going to happen. And then the less they fly, these other guys can get supplied. And Charlie's just moving in on this place. So it might they're going to be playing games with us after these rocket attacks and mortars and that, and we're supposed to have work all day, you know. It's going to be, that's what I think is when I leave here, I'm going to be tired some of again. However, we passed the word today, if this is your second tour over here, you can get leave. Even when you go to the States or Hawaii or any place you go, when you leave here. The only catch is I don't have any leave on the books, so I'm out of luck again. Checking all those Kleenex out, and they work pretty good. So, well, I guess I said enough about over here. You said Bunky had to go to see the doc about her stomach. Well, it's too bad that doesn't clear up. I don't see why she should be suffering the rest of her life. There must be something that they can do about it, you know. It just doesn't seem right, you know, that young, have an ulcer and have a body in the rest of your life. Because they got some, they're killing all kinds of things now. This one guy in the Hoochier, he's in charge of the yearbook they're going to make for this one. And he's going over some pictures and we decided what we to put in this night, you know. And they got one here, a little gunship. And it's up above our base here. And the aircraft, the picture was taken of it, you know, close up of it. And it comes in real clear. And down below it looks all white, like it just snowed, you know, it's sandy down there anyhow. It all looks real white below, but the plane comes out real clear. And I'll send that home when I send this yearbook. And then they get another one here that, excuse me, it's a picture of, they had floods here last fall, or last spring, and, a lot of people got snuffed around here, drowned in that, and got all their homes washed away because it was real bad flooding over here. And they got this one plane land on this little bitty dry piece of ground, halfway dry, you know, picking up all the local population and this and that. And it's kind of a weird picture. It's taken out of a window of another plane, you know. This plane, you know, this 53 can land on the ocean or in the water, you know, and take off again. It's amphibious type aircraft, you know. It's the best one that there's flying. And of course, it's made by Sikorsky, you know. Yeah, I got a, for special tools, I made up a thing, you know, and they're assigned by T numbers for to take off a certain thing. And you need a certain adapter, kind of wrench or tool. And, I made up the sign, Sikorsky parts, you know, and it's S-I-C-K-W-H-O-R-E, you know, S-K-I, Sikorsky, yeah, parts, you know. And, I don't know, I haven't got really too much to talk about. It's real quiet out tonight, hardly any wind. It's kind of dark. The flares keep lighting up the area, keep coming down. It's like, these flares last. I forget the candle watt power that they put out, but it's fabulous, and they drop them from about. It's Wednesday the 7th. And I didn't get a tape today. And I kind of expected that box that he was talking about he sent maybe tomorrow or the next day. And well, I didn't get a tape yesterday either.
And now, here's the deal. Evidently, they get held up someplace, and during the week, I don't get anything. Like I said, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I got tapes, two in a row, 2 days together, or two in one day. And that's what's happening now again. And during the week, it gets held up someplace, and then comes on weekends, as long as it comes, what the world. And I was going to tape you last night, and I thought, well, I taped down a little tape the night before, and it was nothing really to talk about. And I couldn't figure anything else new that happened yesterday. So I thought I'd wait till today, and I'd probably get a tape today, then I'd have some. But I'll try and get through this one side here. I was reading the Stars and Stripes for this guy, California someplace, and he was a deputy sheriff, I guess it was. And he's out playing golf, and he sliced the ball and went 200 yards and hit a guy in the back pocket, went right in his back pocket. So he's one up on Spear Wagner. I don't know if you read that in the paper or not. It's pretty comical. Today we went out and flew the bay and went up on this hill about 20 miles. It's about 30 miles from here, southwest. And we put these guns up on the hill, put these Marines out there. And tomorrow they got a big deal going. Marines and Army, I guess. It's going to be a big sweep deal. Last a week or two, I guess. And I guess the Army's trying to set up a perimeter, and they're going to take over, you know, when they pull off the 6th of May. All the ground Marines will be out of here. And the Army's supposed to be taking over the base here. And they're supposed to be trying to set up a perimeter all around us, too, in the meantime, until we leave. So I guess that's what this big deal was tomorrow. So, we flew about, got down about 4, 10 to 4, I guess, tonight, flew all day. And we'll be launching early again tomorrow.
really touch and go, you know, real touchy and trying to feel what different things happen. And let's see. I think I'm on tape for mailer B. I sent A. I think I got B to go. Let me check. Maybe it's C. I got B. So I haven't got any more. They haven't got numbers on. So I guess that you should know if you got them all, if there's any missing by now. And I got half of my bike wax. I got to finish up the other half here. Got interrupted the other day when I was doing it. And didn't get it all finished. And as far as nights, it's been pretty quiet around here now. Nothing at all. You know, no wind coming. And so if we can get by tonight with this big sweep going on, there's a big deal tomorrow. Maybe it'll kind of keep off our backs. Trying to kill a mosquito that's flying around in here. Boy, they really attack me at night. And I use that, I don't think that thing, I think it lost its potency or something because it doesn't seem to do, you know, do much. And maybe I'll fill it all the way up with, I'll put a whole box in it once and see what happens, if that helps any. And I think it kind of lost its potency. So maybe I'll, one of these days I'll wrap it up when I mail stuff home and send it back. Yeah, it's only 10 after 7 here now. And so I'll probably go to sleep about 9, play with the locks a while. Get a guy to, everybody's gone tonight, this guy in the next deal over here is listening to some music. The other night when I taped, he's having a big party out in the back. And they're always partying, it seems like. Yeah, you can open that thing I get from my statement from, I should get one from El Toro and one from Los Alamos credit unions there. So, they should both come about the same time. And read the headlines here. This Manson on trial again for what? St. Joe's, California. I see where they burned down a hobo village. They was getting too many of them, I guess. And I got a flight jacket the other day, a nylon one, and they're real nice and warm. I'm going to try and mail that home some way. And that should be about all I have to mail home. I just hope we get the mail stuff to our next duty station when we leave here. There's been some talk both ways, and I never heard which way, if we would or if we wouldn't, you know. If I go to Hawaii, I just throw everything in a box with the gear that we move and take that. But if I go to Oki, I don't know if I'll be able to mail it up there or not, if I have to carry or anything with me.
something about only bringing 65 or 70 pounds in the country when they came down here. So maybe that's how they'll let us, if we fly out of here back to Oki, maybe that's how they'll let us take back with us. So,
I guess about the middle of this month we ought to start finding out. Some guys ought to start getting their orders.
And I think they're going to, some of these guys are due to go home the end of this month, and the first of next month they'll probably start getting orders and get moved up maybe 30 days ahead of time and start weeding, you know, pinning people out around here. And so when it gets right down to the very end, there shouldn't be very many people left around here. And then we can all get on a plane and leave. Or a boat, maybe. Wouldn't mind going aboard carrier with the planes and float back to Hawaii. Haven't been aboard ship for a long time. And actually, if you're not operating, you know, flying off of it or anything, it'd be a kind of a vacation cruise. Be that much work, you know, that much to do. And got a bunch of planes taking off around here. Somebody said they brought in with, when I was flying today, I don't know where they got them, maybe from Oki, five rifle companies. Marine rifle companies are being that deal tomorrow. And I guess that's where they got them. Because there's just a few grunts around here now on the boonies. And you gotta look at these tapes. Are these 60 minutes on each side or? They are on each side. Well, 2:30 minutes. That's only half hour. Hmm. Hey, it looks if it would have been 15 minutes, it would have been all on the other side now. I have to take and run some of that tape or that head cleaner on my recorder here.
I got a plastic deal over in the daytime. But the way I've got it cut, kind of, I think some sand still blows in on it. And it's always dusty and sandy, everything, you know. So.
And. I don't know. He's talking about some surprise in that package. I was wondering if that was that thing that he got from the Panox, that beer opener. It was going to be in this package. I was kind of wondering what the surprise was going to be. I guess I'll just wait and see. And, if you get that and haven't sent it yet, why don't you just hold on to it and see where I go? If I go to Oki or Hawaii or something, maybe you can send it there instead of sending it down here. Now it's getting pretty short here, you know, everybody is. And so I wouldn't get much use, and then I have to just pack it with me again when I left. So. Yeah, you have to tell me if you got your ears pierced. I can't remember. I don't think they're pierced. But those earrings I sent, they're pierced. And with that type, but maybe you can switch them around. You know, I'll put another type on them, on the end of them. And you got a briefcase now to carry your stuff with. Your homework to and from work, if you got any. And thieves inside there. Last time I saw, there was an old envelope up in one of the corners or something. So when you open it, look for the key. If you throw any of that newspaper and stuff away that's in there, you know, it's in a little envelope and there's two little keys in there. You know, lock it. I hope it doesn't get all banged up and sprung out of shape in shipping. I sent it, PAL. And I could have sent it airmail, and he said it would have been, I forget how much to send it airmail. And he said it would get there probably just as fast as the PAL, so, because it flies to the States anyhow. Well, maybe, he said, maybe a day difference. So I figured what the world. So I hope you get that stuff by Easter. And, seven. But then, well, these PXs around here, everybody goes to them, you know, off the base net to different ones. I have them look for that projector. And, no, they say that the stock is all run down on all these PXs around here, so I'll probably end up getting it when I get back to Oakview or someplace, or else just mail for it through that catalog. I'll probably do that. When you mail for it, you got to get a money order for the exact amount, and you got to figure out the customs and all this and that, how much that is, and the tax, or whatever it is, and insurance. And then you got to get customs declarations and put them with it when you send for the order, and then they attach them to the stuff when they mail it. And, seems like quite a hassle, but I guess, when they mail them from the PXO, it's all packed, and you know, and they know that they're insured and they get there. Or if they don't, you can always, you know, get another one from them. So, I think it's just about half gone or so. But I can't really think of too much to say. Well, maybe I'll, I'm gonna shut it off for a little while. Maybe I'll think of something for a while. You know, I just talked to a guy that works in S1 and they were having a discussion about that, if we were, what kind of orders we were going to get if we went back to Oki, if we could ship anything, or, you know, if we couldn't. And he says, yeah, 1,000 pounds, so that's no sweat then. So I think I got to not figure out why I can get another footlocker. I'll go talk to this guy tomorrow, or next day, and see if there's any footlockers laying around left.